B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour 3, Felger and Mads, presented by DraftKings here from our Tom Fritari studios in Dorchester. I think the Breeze thing is significant for a couple reasons. One is the money. What's he getting? What's he getting? I want to know that number. Brady should want to know that number. I bet Brady does know the number. Drew Brees is coming off a contract in which he played for 2 years and $50 million fully guaranteed, so 25 per. Does he get a raise? Or does his contract stay flat, but he still gets a raise in that? And someone, the guy who does Spotrac, raised this before. It's an excellent point. Drew Brees' previous contract counted for 14% against the salary cap. So if he just says, well, let's leave it at that, the cap's gone up to a certain degree, so 14% next year would be $28 million. So does he go from 25 to 28, but accounts for the same percentage of the cap? That would make a lot of sense. It's logical. So Brees goes to $28 million. Furthermore, the Spotrac guy said it might be multiple years. Two, 3 years.
Yeah, three-year deal ranging from $90 million to $100 million in total value, more likely.
Okay, and if that's the case, and let's see what the guarantee is. So call it half guaranteed. 3 years, $90 million, half guaranteed. What are we looking at with Brady? Does he get anywhere near that?
Not
from
here.
The Patriots, you mean?
Yeah, from the Patriots. No.
No, I was going to say he'll get more than that, but he won't get it from the Patriots.
I think he will get more than that, and he'll get more than that from the Vegas Raiders, at least, if not more. And the Vegas Raiders, to me, should be the most obvious team. And it's just a dawn breaks over Marblehead. Should have occurred to me much sooner than that. John Gruden is all mobbed up with those ESPN people. Worked there for 10 years. So Gruden's feeding those guys. Adam Schefter comes out the day of the Super Bowl. The Raiders will be involved. Greenberg said it today in passing after speaking with a banged up Ben Affleck. He said, I keep hearing Gruden's going to be involved. Gruden's going to be involved. So where do you think they're getting that from? They're getting it right from Gruden. So the Raiders, and never mind Larry Fitzgerald's dad. The Raiders are going after Brady, and they're going after him hard. So whatever Brees gets, you can expect Brady to get more and maybe even an extra year on top of it to make it worth his while. So if Brees is going to be 3 years, 90, is Brady going to be 3 years, 100, or, you know, whatever? And that's why that's significant. And I think there is a number attached to Brees because he's not just blindly going to say, I'm coming back, who dat nation. He had to have talked to him. He was negotiating with the networks about being a broadcaster. So he had to have had conversations with the Saints. Otherwise, he's not going to say, I'm coming back, who dat, if they're going to lowball him or there's a chance they won't give him what he wants on the contract. That's already been discussed. So once again, Tom Brady has to sit here where Belichick hasn't even called him. The team hasn't even made an offer. Nothing has happened. Not even, you know, one word. They're waiting until after the combine. And he's got to look at Drew Brees, who's half the player that he is, who hasn't accomplished a fifth of what he has, already signed, sealed, and delivered, taken care of once again. Does that frustrate Brady? I can see why it would.
Oh, it should frustrate Brady. And I guarantee it frustrates Brady. How could it not?
So that's why I think the Brees thing is significant. It's just another case of, wow, you know, again, Patriots and Brady aren't talking. You got to have to wait. And it's going to take a crowbar to get a market deal out of the Patriots, where Brees, no sweat. Month ago, no issue. Here you go. All signed, sealed, and delivered. Who dat? Love you, Saints. Come back. Let's make another run. And so I just can't help but compare the two. Greg Bedard in Boston Sports Journal wrote something about how this should go down between Brady, Belichick, and the Krafts. And again, listen to all these hoops that have to go through for these three things. Where, if Brady's just looking at Drew Brees, like, are there any hoops that he has to go through?
No.
No, he was considering retiring. He talked to the team. They came to a number, and it's done. With a month to go. A month to spare. Meanwhile, here, it's like, when's he going to call? What's he going to say? What's Robert going to do? What's the number going to be? What's my team going to be? It's like, it's just so different. Anyway, Bedard says how this should go down between Brady, Belichick, and the Krafts. First, he says, time apart, then come together. Okay, so like they all need a breather from each other. Bedard says, yes, nothing has happened to this point. There have been no contract discussions. He says, this is not that unusual, and it was expected. To which I would say, well, then tell me how New Orleans already has it done with Brees. Because if it's not unusual, it's not to be expected. It seems to me down in New Orleans, they got that done pretty easily.
Well, expected here.
Okay, so, and it's, all right, exactly. So nothing's happened, no contract discussions. This is not that unusual, and it was expected. He says the Patriots aren't going to show their cards this early. They shouldn't be giving Brady written permission to talk to teams at this point, or maybe at all. The phrase, the player was given permission to work out a deal, means the team no longer wants that player and is eager to facilitate his departure. So the Pats aren't going to do that. He says it's believed the Patriots have been happy with Brady's play of late and have not seen any slippage. The problem with the offense last season was a lack of weapons. He says the best thing for all sides was to spend time apart, decompress, and then have a meeting. Brady's been spending family time in far-flung places. Belichick has been fishing.
Oh, good. That's good.
For a new quarterback?
Very good. Kraft has been down the Hollywood circuit. At some point, however, writes Bedard, the three sides need to come together under the radar and out of the press. Then he says you put all your cards on the table. He says when the three sides meet, Brady needs to state his intentions. Okay, he, quote, like, for example, I would like to return to the team if you still want me to be your quarterback, but some things need to change. Or Brady just needs to be up front and say, I think we've accomplished all that we can, and I think it's best that we all go our separate ways. And that's sort of an interesting point.
Yeah.
I mean, Brady hasn't really made his intent. I mean, he subtly sort of has. Like, it's been reported that Brady's first choice is to stay. Like, Gasper comes in and says that. But has Brady really made that?
No.
No.
No, I mean, he said he's just, he's going to keep playing is really, that's all you got.
So again, there's just a stare down in New England. Meanwhile, Breeze once again signed, sealed, and delivered. Bedard writes that some people close to the situation have not ruled out the possibility that Brady could want out just out of spite for the whole situation since the Falcons Super Bowl. Lack of any contract extension at any point, treatment of trainer Alex Guerrero, Belichick grinding on Brady, constantly changing offensive personnel, the utter failure to provide any viable weapons last year, et cetera, that Brady may just want out purely out of spite. This is what you've been hitting on.
Yes, exactly. This is sort of my point. Any disgruntled employee would love to leave and give his employer the finger, except that more often than not, they can't because they need the job and they need the income and they have nowhere else to go. Brady doesn't have that problem. So just leave. Leave. Again, I in some ways, I'd have more respect for him if he just said, F you, I'm out. I'm done. You guys had me for 19 years. You yanked me around by the chain the whole time. Like I had to follow you like I was some kind of puppy. And now I'm free. Screw you, I'm out. I'm out. I'm done.
If that's the case, says Bedard Maz, Brady should just say it and move on. Stop playing these constant leverage games his camp has been playing in the media.
Ooh, agreed.
There's a shot. I mean, it is funny. Like, Rivers and the Chargers, they declared he's done. They're moving on. The Saints and Breeze, they've declared he's coming back. Here, they haven't even talked.
No, I'll tell you what. It really is a good point because if Brady ends up coming back on something that we would deem to be a sacrificial deal, okay, where he gave something up again, oh, he's going to look like a tool. You went through all of this for that? You should have just signed.
And he'll be miserable, too. So that's why he should. I'm with you. At this point, he should walk.
Walk. Just walk.
But you understand his mentality. I do, at least. That part of him, it probably feels like, look, with all I've accomplished here over the last 20 years, they still want me, right? They'll still want me.
So Bedard continues. Some people think, however, that when it comes down to it, Brady really has no intention of leaving. That at the end of the day, he's not going to want to set up a new shop for coaches and with players he doesn't know. Forget about the extra time commitment it will take. After 20 years in the league, Brady's really going to go play for Anthony Lynn? Offensive coordinator Shane Steichen? Who is that? I don't know what that is. Steichen? And owner Dean Spanos? How about John Gruden and Mark Davis, where the Raiders have zero defense and as many receivers as the Patriots, meaning none?
They have Hunter Renfro.
How about Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith and his receiver tight ends? They're going to suddenly convert to Brady's demanding route running in one offseason? People have serious doubts about all that, writes Bedard. And I would tend to agree.
Sure.
Like, as much as I want him to go, I'm rooting for him to go. I know I'm set myself up for disappointment. He'll be back. Same old, same old.
Brady's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't, if you ask me, but go ahead.
Then Bedard says Belichick's turn. If Brady wants to stay, then the ball is totally in Belichick's court. He needs to be prepared to have a human response if Brady indicates that he wants to stay. For example, he would say something like, "Yes, Tom, we want you to be our quarterback for the next one or two more seasons. We agree. You can still play and you give us the best chance to win. Look, you and I both know I screwed up last offseason. Gronk screwed us, and so we lost out on Jared Cook. I effed up the receivers. I thought the defense was going to carry us, and I was wrong. AB was a disaster, still is." Do you think Belichick's in command nearer to saying this?
No way.
I mean, as you're reading in my head, I'm thinking when hell freezes over, you're never going to get any of that kind of mea culpa.
No freaking way.
This is a guy who, when asked about Spygate, said, "Look, you know, we were wrong. I mean, there's 80,000 people in the stadium. They're all watching." Like, he couldn't admit, he still can't admit that.
He never gave anyone an answer on Malcolm Butler.
Belichick would continue. "If you come back, Tom, we're not that far away. I'd welcome your thoughts on possible upgrades. I can't make any promises that I'll do them, but I'd like to hear them. Maybe you can help us recruit." Is there any chance Belichick says any of this crap?
No way. Again, I told you, there is a better chance that Belichick would give Brady the money before he gives him a say in how it's going to be run.
Now, here's one thing Belichick would say that Bedard supposes. That Belichick would say, "However, there's one thing I want from you, or else there's no point in any of this. You have to show up in the offseason. If we make these changes, you have to be there starting with phase two of the offseason workouts through the end. There's no point in me getting X, Y, and Z if you're only going to show up for 3 days in June. You're going to be on a pitch count in camp, so you need as much time with them as possible." So that has to be a condition for him returning. You got to be all in again. Then Bedard says, "Now the ball is with Brady. If he really does want to, do this family thing in the offseason, then he should be the quarterback for another team," which I agree with. I want the old Brady back. I want the parking spot, the whole thing. Okay? Like, I've been big on that, obviously. Bedard also says, "If Brady thinks he's going to visit with other teams and literally be wined and dined while Belichick just sits around, he's fooling himself. That would not be in the best interest of the football team, and the Patriots should move on at some point." So, like, listen to all those hoops and all those things that Belichick has to say, and Brady has to say, and Brady has to commit to, and the needle that has to be threaded. Meanwhile, Drew Brees has another contract, and he's all signed, sealed, and delivered in New Orleans without even breaking a sweat.
Okay, so this is sort of an open-ended question, but why do the hoops exist here?
Answer your own question. I don't know
Bill,
what you're driving at.
Bill! Bill is the hoops. Bill's the hoops. Bill creates the hoops. Bill is the hoops. Bill's all the hoops. Bill's a control freak, has to have all the power, and I'm not saying he's wrong for it, by the way. But everything, you know, has got to run through Bill, or Crafton has to overrule Bill. But it all starts with Bill. So my guess is Brees and Peyton, and is Loomis still the GM there? Like, you know,
I have no idea who it is.
There is some open line of communication. They're all sort of willing to work together, that they're in the you know, they're in it as one. Bill makes it tough. And this is why I say, if you're Brady, you don't need the money, you don't need the rings, you really don't need the coach anymore. Tell him to F off and leave.
So if he does, there's a name that just won't go away. Peter King just cannot quit the Red Rocket. The Red Rifle?
Yeah, go with the Red Rifle.
No, right. You don't want to be going with the Red Rocket.
Down boy. Down.
That's my dog. Careful. Yeah.
Take a deep breath.
Peter King just cannot quit Andy Dalton. King wrote yesterday that, "I'll go against the grain and say my gut feeling is that Brady settles on the Patriots. It seems the most reasonable solution to the Brady free agency dilemma." He says, "I'll preface this by saying none of this logic matters if Bill Belichick has already decided he wants to start a new era that doesn't include a 43-year-old quarterback who makes a lot of money. Belichick might want to begin anew with a quarterback he feels is good and who costs significantly less. Someone like 32-year-old Andy Dalton. The Patriots would probably have to pay a third or fourth round pick for Dalton, who has a year left on his contract and no future in Cincinnati. The Patriots have 2/3 and 2/4, including a likely third round compensatory pick. If Belichick makes up his mind that it's time to move on from Brady, then my argument is moot. Dalton, by the way, would be my pick to start in New England next year if Brady goes. Belichick would love Dalton. He's a quiet, intense, lunch pail Texan who makes no excuses. And Dalton would embrace the Patriot ethos.
And makes no completions.
Yeah, and sucks.
But we'll take him anyway.
So there's your Brady reset. To the phones right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Mez.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Mez.
You guys do a great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I have no idea, neither do you, who Bill Belichick sits in his office, feet up on the desk, watching tape of who he says, I really like that guy. Whether or not the rest of the league likes him or not. One of the guys I think, and I know this, people are going to laugh at this, I think Bill Belichick would really like to work with Andy Dalton. You know, because wow. Andy Dalton is, he's a football player, you know, and he's not Tom Brady. He's not going to go down in the pantheon. I get it. Guys who are going to go down in the pantheon at age 32 are not available, okay? But Russell Wilson's not available. But I think Andy Dalton would be a very compelling guy to be a bridge, either to be their quarterback for a while or to be their bridge guy to the next quarterback.
Peter King cannot quit Andy Dalton. Okay, back to your phones. As promised, you've been waiting patiently like our buddy Cam in Taunton. Hi, Cam.
Mike, you know, I'm not going to lose my mind on this. I know you and Dan Lifshitz have gone full Orchids of Asia with Bill. So you said something earlier that just irritated me. You keep saying he's 14-6. Mike, I know you don't believe this, but 2000 happened, Mike. It happened, and Cleveland happened, too. He is a below 500 NFL coach without Tom Brady. That's a fact. Not an opinion. That's a fact.
Okay, so I just put more stock into the more recent stuff than I do 1993.
Do those wins count more than the ones that happened there? Are they a win and a half in his record book?
Do you think he's the exact same guy that he was in 1993, or do you think he's gotten better?
No, but I think Brady's made him a lot more than Bill's made Brady. I think it's 70-30, and I've been consistent on that for a long time.
Okay, well, that may be the case. But in this era, they're 14-6 without Brady. That is a fact. Now, you can go back to Cleveland if you want. I think part of Bill's gap between him and the league is his experience level. He's just seen everything, done everything 10 times over. So there's nothing he hasn't seen. But when he was in Cleveland, it was a first-time head coach. He was the youngest coach in the league. So I just don't feel his Cleveland record is germane to now. I don't. I think the last 10, 15 years is germane to what he is now.
Well, the other thing is the credentials. I mean, when a guy walks in that's never played for him before.
Right. Who listened to him in Cleveland?
Right. The second he walks into the room now, if you're a new guy, you're clamming up and you are listening because he's got the hardware and the boat on top of it, the whole nine yards.
Yes, which we are going to rename the facilitator in honor of myself and Greenberg, Stu.
Yuck.
Peter King also wrote, if Brady goes on a Peyton Manning free agency tour, which Tom Curran reported today he's hearing will not happen. I'll circle back to that in a minute. But anyway, King writes, if Brady goes on a Peyton Manning free agency tour with helicopters following his chauffeured Escalade from private airstrips to team facilities, I'm skeptical on a New England return. It's hard to imagine Belichick getting in line with Anthony Lynn and John Gruden and whoever the wooers would be. I guess Belichick in that case would think, quote, well, we've gone 14-6 without Brady since he took the job in 2001. We'll figure it out with someone else.
That's exactly what Belichick would do.
And I want to see it. I want to see it. And either he'll be right or wrong. Now, it's tough with him. He's, as Murray's said a few times in the update, the schedule for the Patriots is a killer. You know, for all of you who've bitched and moaned about us, complaining about their easy schedule the last couple of years, here's the year for you. Hardest schedule in the league. Based on win-loss percentage of the previous year. So going into the year, you have the hardest schedule in the league, you and the Jets of all teams, because of who you play, the division you play. So Andy Dalton's going to have his work cut out for him to go 9-7 and win the division against that schedule.
Hell yeah. This is the primary reason why I think they're going to struggle next year, is that their schedule's a wagon.
We've got Mike in Danvers on the Red Sox. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. Good show, you guys. Listen, Mike.
I got to tell you, I said it before, I'll say it again. There's a certain reason why certain players will not come to Boston. How can you give Chris Sale a five-year, $145 million contract when you've been sprinkling fairy dust on his arm for the last year and a half, hoping that he can pitch a full season, and you cannot sign Mookie Betts to a big contract? You said they don't do those kind of contracts. They did it for Chris Sale, so how can you explain that?
Well, I'm sorry, how many years was Chris Sale?
5 years, 145.
Okay. Betts is asking for 12. A little bit of a difference there?
Yeah, I mean, you can't even compare the contracts. So, like, it's apples and... Betts is looking for 2.5 times what Sale got.
Come on.
I mean, it's just, it's not the same. Now, that said, they did make a mistake signing Sale and Eovaldi.
Can I tell you what? I'm not convinced that Sale's a mistake yet.
I am.
Because you think the arm's going to blow up.
I do.
Well, that's... Well, I mean, you can't get him in trouble for something they haven't done yet.
No, but I would also tell you this. He's been here how many years now? Three? Is it three? What have you seen? What's the pattern? He fades.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
Yeah.
I mean, that is... So, is that going to get better? That happened in Chicago.
Well, I mean, I just...
No, I... Look, you never know what's going to happen, right? As you say, you can't predict the future.
The thing is, I like both those guys. I like Eovaldi. I still want to see what it is with him.
Would you rather have those two right now or Betts?
Betts.
Me too.
Yeah.
And so, I just think the pitchers are... You know, forget Eovaldi. What a colossal mistake that was.
I still want to see that. I'm not convinced of that. He's got good stuff.
At $17 million a year?
He's got good stuff.
Yeah, let's just take the seven. Tell you what they should do is take the $17 million. They should go buy some popcorn and soda and hot dogs that they can put in the family of four packages that Sam Kennedy can sell. And then they can take whatever's left over and just light it on fire. Or pour it back into the team, because that's what they said they were going to do.
Tony anyway. And Stoneham on the Patriots. Hi.
How you doing, guys? I know you always get upset at me and hang up on me and don't let me finish. The thing is, here's what's going to happen with Brady. Brady's going to stay with the Patriots, and what's going to happen is he's going to have a contract somewhere around $20 million because they'll raise up from the 18 and do away with the incentive part of it. If he left, there's one place that he should go, and that would be the Houston Texans, because they got a defense and they got some offense.
They also have a quarterback.
Brady's better than that guy.
Well, yeah, but they're committed to that guy.
Well, I don't know what the contract is with those guys. Now, the other thing is this. See, professional teams play to win championships. They don't stand on ceremony because they don't like a player. You hate Brown, and Brown would have won the championship for the Patriots this year.
He never would have lasted.
Missing a guy like him. And I want to add something.
No.
What has come out about his case? Nothing.
Nothing.
He would have been suspended. It was all a matter of time. Again, just like Garoppolo and Antonio Brown, all I ever want to hear is, Jim, you were right.
He wasn't going to make it, Tony. He's barely made it as a citizen. He's barely stayed out of jail.
Seriously.
Being out of the league. What makes you think he would have been able to stay in the league?
He would have been suspended.
He couldn't make it 2 weeks here without threatening a woman.
He wasn't going to last.
He wasn't going to make it, Tony. Like, isn't it clear? By now, he's got tremendous, big, emotional, mental problems. Huge.
This one blows me away because I keep hearing people say it. If they had kept Brown, they'd have won the Super Bowl. He wouldn't have made it.
he's barely stayed out of jail. He had an ankle bracelet on a couple weeks ago.
He would not have made it. I think we can say that definitively now. There was no shot. If you're a Brady supporter and you want to be pissed, here's what you should be pissed at. That in the last couple of years, the guys they've gone to get for him are Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown. Like, talk about time bombs, the two of them, albeit for totally different reasons.
Mike and Melrose on the Bruins. Hi, Michael.
I just want to say that, like, usually, and it still is most important for the Bruins to be playing their best hockey in April and May, but I think the seeding's so important to stay in front of the Lightning. I don't want to see Toronto again. And also, I think it's important. I know the wing next to Krejci is really important, but I hate seeing Coyle play with Bjork and Hyman.
Me
I
too.
Want to get someone to fill in there.
Me too. Everyone talks about getting Krejci a wing. Get Coyle a wing. Coyle's not quite the passer that Krejci is, so I think Krejci needs it more than Coyle. Coyle's really a puck possession guy. He has the puck. He carries the puck. He doesn't have the vision, obviously, of Krejci or the hands. But I think he's your second-best center. But either way, the seeding is important to me, but should it be? I mean, it all comes down to, do you want to face Toronto again in the first round? Like, ultimately, like, don't you think eventually they're going to...
No.
No, the seeding's important to me. I mean, the other thing is it's just one less team that you have to play on the road because Tampa and Toronto will have to face off. Like, take your chances that maybe Toronto picks off Tampa and then you get a break. I'll take my chances on that as opposed to having to face Toronto, then play Tampa, then play Washington. They'll never make it. They'll never get through there. And it's not.
I don't know if they can hold off Tampa. Tampa won't lose. They can't lose. They won 11 straight, 24 of 26 or something stupid like this. Tampa's not losing.
Okay, fine. Then give someone else a chance to beat them. But what I'm telling you is even if you do get through Tampa, you're not going to get through Tampa and Washington. And then whatever's behind that.
And I guess if
you'll get you physically, you're not going to make it.
If you're talking about the full path, then fine. But if it's about, oh, I don't want to see Toronto because they make it over the hump in the first, please, like enough. Stop it. Toronto, joke.
No. To me, it's about the path. It's because Toronto will give you a series. There's a lot of talent there. Hell, it takes you seven every time you play them.
I mean, it's never been easy.
Okay, and then you're going to have to go back-to-back Tampa, Washington?
Or Pittsburgh.
No shot.
That's why they got to make a move.
They'll come out black and blue. They get beaten to a pulp.
Okay, we'll reset the Bruins' thought at the deadline. Less than a week to go to the deadline, and their trade targets keep going off the board. Well, what do they have up their sleeve? Anything? We'll reset that. We continue the Red Sox bashing, if you want, and the Brady Watch, right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
It seems like the Bruins like their basic model here. They don't want to do any upgrades. No outside moves or anything like this. Oh, Tyler Toffoli is in my hip pocket. Whoopsie. No, he's not. Well, are the Bruins going to do anything by Monday here, Billy?
Okay. Well, first of all, easy there. Second of all, they never said it was in their hip pocket. A writer from Canada said it was in their hip pocket.
Good writer.
I do. A great writer. Know him very well. Dear friend. I do believe they will make it. You know, I do, Adam. I think they will make a move.
So what's it going to be? Tyler Toffoli. Well, again, as you heard Adam Jones, he did the midday today. That's Bill Jaffe, Nesson. There was a report that the Bruins had Tyler Toffoli in their hip pocket when he goes to Vancouver last night. Goes to Vancouver last night. Was that Jones?
It didn't sound as good as it did in preview. My fault.
It's all right. Snarky Jones there. So they had Toffoli in their hip pocket, and they lose him to Vancouver for a second, a prospect. The prospect's Tyler Madden here at Northeastern, who's a third-round pick last year. A fourth liner who makes $1.9 million, that's Tim Schaller, who you know from here, and a conditional fourth if Toffoli resigns. And he's a rental. He's up at the end of the year and is considered, apparently he wants to go back to L.A. So you just got to assume he's a pure rental. I wanted him. To me, I would rather have Toffoli for that package than the package it's going to take to sign Chris Kreider or to trade for Chris Kreider. And I just feel better about those rentals. There's something about giving up a first-round pick for a rental that I feel like it never works. I feel like it never works. It hasn't worked here. Between Rick Nash and Thomas Cabrillet and was Yager?
Yager.
Yager ended up being a first-round pick.
It was a conditional second at the time.
That went to a first because he went to the finals. So Yager didn't quite work. He drove me nuts. I mean, there's got to be some other examples there, but I just don't feel it's ever worked. And you won a cup with Cabrillet, but not because of him. He blew. So you wasted a first-round pick there. You wasted a first-round pick on Yager. You wasted a first-round pick on Nash. I just feel like maybe it's psychological, that first-round pick barrier to me says, like, no, if the guy's coming back with term, fine. You know, the Josh Anderson in Columbus or Trocheck, who I talked about yesterday, that's different. If the guy has contract time left, then that's the first-round pick to me is more worth it. But just as that pure rental, Ty Anderson just came in here, 985thesportshub.com, said, you know, Chris Kreider, who's an unrestricted free agent after this year, is going to want $7 million a year. Do I want to give Chris Kreider $7 million a year?
No.
So I'm just renting him, and it's going to cost more than Toffoli did. So instead of a second, Nordstrom, and again, so this is the comp to what Vancouver gave up. You'd have to give up a second-round pick, a fourth liner like Joakim Nordstrom, then the third-round pick. You know, Madden was a third-round pick last year with the Canucks. Your third-round pick last year was this Czech player. I forget his name. He's hurt right now. God, what is it?
Loka.
Okay. So you give up the third-round pick from last year and then a conditional fourth. I'd rather give up that package than a first-round pick for Kreider, then probably a higher prospect than Lauko. Like, you know, now you're looking at Bjork or Stadnica or Vakanainen, and then probably a roster player on top of it. Again, Bjork, Heinen, whatever. I mean, I'd rather given up the package for Toffoli than what they're going to have to give up for Kreider.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, and again, I'm only giving up a first if I'm getting term back. Now that I think of it, and I shouldn't do this, you know, on the fly. Has Sweeney traded a first yet?
Yeah, for Nash.
Oh, right.
That was him.
Ugh.
So those first round picks on the rentals scare me. And there's just something about a little comfort zone of the second round. So what Sweeney did last year, I thought was perfect. Coyle and Johansson nailed it, helped take you to the game 7 of the Cup Finals. And those were two of your better players in the playoffs. So you could do that again, great. But the names are starting to come off the list. Everyone around them has made a move. Pittsburgh has made a move. Lightning made a move. Washington today made a move for the defenseman in San Jose. Was it Dylan? Was it?
Either way, they
made a move. Second and third round pick.
Brendan Dillon, yeah.
Brendan Dillon in San Jose. So everyone around you is making a move. Part of that might be good news in that they've all fired their bullets now. So Pittsburgh's traded their first round pick and Tampa's traded their first round pick. They have no more first round picks to give. Washington still does. But they have to do something. If they come out of this thing without making a significant move, what a whiff.
You got to make a move. I mean, I just, you know, again, you have the best record in the league or the most points in the league. Like, you know, you have this.
You're in it.
Your aging core is, who knows how much time you got left there. You might even be lucky to get this year right. Like, you just can't just.
You have another real shot at it.
You do.
You have another real shot, and maybe your last. You got to treat it like it's your last. You just do, given the ages of your players. You got to treat it like it's the last real kick at it you'll have in a while.
I mean, remember a year ago when we were talking about this, Charlie Jacobs was saying, you know, we have an aging core.
Yes, like, it was last year, right?
Right. So, like, now they're in the same spot, except it's a year later. So what are you going to do now? Just back off it?
And the team deserves it, frankly. You know, I don't usually go that route, but I think this team does deserve it. They've been focused all season long. They've been a top team in the league all season long. Every time they've had a dip or Tampa's challenged them, they've turned it back on. And I feel like they've kind of corny, but a little bit on a mission. I mean, it sort of feels like that's what they've lived up to their end of the bargain. They've shaken off the Stanley Cup hangover and whatever, you know, whatever that would have entailed. And they've just been a focused group the entire time. And I feel like they have their eyes on it and they're sort of driven and they're kind of, kind of on a mission. So give him some help. And we'll see what Sweeney better come up with something. He better have something better than Toffoli in his back pocket. Not his hip pocket. He better have something better than Toffoli ready to go. So there's your Bruins update. We continue with the Brady Watch, Sox fallout, all of it right after these words.
Felger and Mats on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Patriots missed their window here. Not to keep Tom, but to have Tom sign an extension prior to free agency. You're now at he's reached the finish line. Now he just has to wait for the clock to expire, and he will get to visit other teams. He will get to see how other teams do things, have other coaches, have other owners woo him, have other teams put in front of him 3 years. $100 million. I think that contract might be out there for Tom Brady, even if the last year is more of a dummy year. The only way I believe Canty, the New England Patriots, prevent Tom Brady from reaching free agency is if they do what they could have done 9 months ago to prevent this from ever happening, which is not offer him a contract extension, offer him a multi-year contract extension with guarantees attached past the first year, so Tom Brady knows I'm not going to be back in this same position again next year. I don't think the Patriots are ready to do that. I think they more want the rest of the market to set the market for Tom Brady. And so, yeah, I don't expect that we're going to hear Tom Brady and the Patriots have agreed to a deal prior to free agency, because if that was going to happen, it would have happened prior to this past season.
Again, Nick Wright, I know you hate him, sorry, but it's a salient point. Maz has been making it for a while. If they weren't going to pay him after the Super Bowl, if they weren't going to pay him after the MVP, if they weren't going to pay him after throwing for 500 yards in the Super Bowl, why are they going to pay him now after a down year? I still contend that we're a month away, and they could have done it in the last couple of weeks. They could do it now.
Of course, anytime.
Saints just did it with Breeze. Saints just did it with Breeze. So what preclude? Why do they have to wait for the combine, or wait till after the combine? Like, I don't get it.
They don't, but maybe they feel like they benefit by putting pressure on Brady.
If they want him and he wants them, like Breeze and the Saints, it's done. So what does that lead me to believe?
That they want it.
They don't want each other.
Or they're playing a negotiating game. I wouldn't rule that out either, because the Patriots know that if they put the heat on Brady, he'll crack. Because he's done it historically.
And if I'm Brady, that's aggravating.
Sure, yeah. But again, this is why I say, like, unless Brady is willing to actually walk, okay, he's going to end up putting his tail between his legs and coming back. And I look at it and I say, he doesn't really have a reason to come back here anymore. I mean, other than the familiarity.
Well,
and the
chance to win, man.
Okay, so, but when I say, again, but the chance to win doesn't mean to him, or it can't mean to him what it meant 10 years ago or even 15 years ago. Like, he's won now. He's got 6 titles. He's not like a guy who's ring chasing. So I know he's competitive, and I don't mean to diminish that. If that's how it comes off, I'm not trying to diminish it. I'm just saying that typically what keeps a frustrated employee at his employer is he's got nowhere else to go, or he's still got something to accomplish. Brady doesn't really have either. I mean, most people in his shoes, if they didn't like their boss, would say F you and walk out the door. I mean, maybe they do it more tactfully, but effectively they'd say, I'm done. I'm done dealing with you. I don't need it anymore. I'm out. I'm out. I'm going to go play somewhere else and chill out a little bit, and I need to change the scenery. They would walk.
Here's the latest on Brady, according to Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston. He says, after conversations over the past few days, this is my understanding of where things are. Negotiations will begin, quote-unquote, in a couple of weeks. Kern says, I interpret that as during or immediately after the NFL Combine, which starts about February 26th and concludes March 1st, week from Wednesday is when it starts. By that time, says Kern, Brady should have back-channeled his way to an understanding of what's out there. Last week, I wondered whether it was advantageous for the Patriots if teams did make their pitches to Brady before legal tampering begins on March 16th. My understanding is that the Patriots aren't worried about other teams' financial pitches. Their business with Brady revolves around the direction of the 2020 offensive personnel, Brady getting some input on that, and Brady's role in the team's future. They aren't going to be super vigilant about tampering. So that's a change. Last week, Kern wrote that, watch out, the Pats protect their assets, and they'll file tampering charges on you, and they'll file tampering charges on any team that they think was dinking around with Tom Brady. I think Kern was disabused of that notion, which is good. It's in the Patriots' best interest for Brady to know exactly what's out there, and so let him. And don't be ball-busting on tampering when you should be in there taking care of your players in the first place.
Yes.
Okay. But all that being said, like, why do negotiations need to begin in a couple of weeks? And why does Brady need to back channel his way to an understanding of what's out there? Did Drew Brees have to back channel his way to understanding of what's out there?
No, well, you know, Breeze was never going to leave the Saints, though.
But did they have to wait for a couple of weeks? Like, the market's obvious. Breeze made $25 million per last year, the last couple of years. The highest paid quarterbacks in the league make 30-plus. Brady's somewhere in there. Like, what needs to shake out?
Okay, but you know why there were hurdles here.
Everyone knows what a fair market deal is for Brady.
Sure.
It's around 30, yeah, give or take.
Except the Patriots don't want to pay him a fair market deal. And there are hurdles here because the Patriots have Belichick.
So, like, but again, if I were Brady, I'd just be like, why is it so freaking hard
see
here?
That, but this gets back to my point. Then this is where you say, see you later, I'm out. Bye-bye.
So I think Brady would be agitated. I can see why he would be. Kern says it's worth noting that there is very little rancor right now. The situation is what it is. The sides are going to work to make it work. Why they are here, what could have been done to avoid it, who's right, who's wrong, who's to blame? He says, I'm not sensing that game being played between the two sides. And there's been plenty of that in the past. He says, now with Brady having the freedom to say no thanks, it's been great. I'm out of here. And the team truly being in the year-to-year contractual situation they wanted, nobody seems to have an active resentment. He says, also, I think the gravity of what may loom, the specter of a historic 20-year run coming to an end, has added an air of
solemnity.
Solemnity. It's a solemn process because they all understand the gravity of it. He says also, I've heard that we shouldn't be expecting the Tom Brady free agent tour 2020, coast to coast with the GOAT. He says, if Brady hits free agency, he may try to set up meetings at one location instead of creating a circus. He says, that's what I'm hearing, so take it for what it's worth. Like, he couches that. He's like, I'm not sure of this, but this is the rumble.
Okay, so, I recognize there's a difference, but is there really a difference?
No, especially if Brady, if we could please turn this into a spectacle.
Right. I think if it's just as big a circus if he makes the base in Manhattan, and he makes everyone, including the Patriots.
Oh, make the Patriots
come to him. That's what I want.
Make Bill come with the presentation.
Yeah, look, and I understand now.
Whiteboard.
How would that go over?
I want it so bad.
How would that go over? And then how about the fact that
Jake Bill knows how to work a PowerPoint?
No.
A slide, the old-fashioned slide machine,
please.
Maybe.
Bill would say, what do I have to show you the PowerPoint for? I'm the coach. Shut up. You watch the PowerPoint. Like, this is the other thing is Brady wants a hand potentially in personnel decisions or Bill's that's going to piss him off more than the money. Bill just wants you to do what I tell you to do. Do your job. Shut up and do your job. That's what the whole message is down there.
Also, Kern said that Ian Rappaport report of the Patriots are willing to go north of $30 million. He says that's something that neither side loved. For the Patriots, it created a false expectation before any negotiations began. And from the perspective of the Brady camp, it missed the point on what his main issue is. So again, neither side likes the report because Brady doesn't want to be perceived as money hungry or, you know, going after the money. And the Patriots don't want to pay it. So that's why they don't like it. So it aggravated both sides. But I don't know how Brees' contract doesn't come into play here.
Oh, it has to on some level.
If Drew Brees makes around $30 million for multiple years, how does Brady not take that to the Patriots and say, I can't be below him again? Like, it's not about the money necessarily, but it's about treating me properly. And treating me properly is having me paid at least what this guy makes, who isn't half the player that I am or accomplished a fifth of what I've accomplished. You have to pay me more. Like, so, like, that has to be a factor.
Unless Brady's immune to it at this stage, because it's been 2 years. He's been waiting for 2 years. So, like, all of a sudden at the end, he's going to say, well, you know, I mean, how many deals has Bree signed in that period of time?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I wonder if he signed a couple, like counting this one.
He says, Kern says, also, while negotiations have not begun, the team is plotting a course for adding players that fit Brady's strengths to help on offense, whether that be through free agency or trade. He says tight end is a position of emphasis. Finally, he says, and this is the part I love, I'm rooting for it. He says, if Brady goes to another team, the people he'll leave behind in Foxborough, which is a nice way of couching
Bill
Belichick. If Brady goes to another team, Belichick, I'll insert it for him, Belichick will be highly, highly motivated to have a 2020 season that will make Brady wonder if he made the right decision. This is what I want. This is what I want.
It sounds like a threat.
Does it sound like a threat or just
a little bit
the way Bill thinks?
No,
it's been mostly talked about as, like, you know, it's going to be Tom that's motivated, Tom reinvigorated. Tom will probably show up for OTAs with Team X, and it's been, you know, no word about the Patriots. But, yeah, no, there's going to be motivation on their end, too.
Can I nitpick over one thing that's
please
in that column?
Please pick.
There has been no rancor. Can we say, and I'm not picking on Curran, okay? No noticeable so rancor?
This is super important to both sides. The Crafts never want rancor. Like, you know, all the NDAs they have guys sign. I mean, all the guys that have left and said nothing but amazing things about the Crafts and the organization, that's super important to the Crafts.
Okay, so again,
that they're not slinging, and Bill for that matter too. He's sensitive to it too, and I would say it plays into Brady as well. He doesn't want to be perceived as being money, you know, a money grubber or looking for every last dime on the table. So I think it plays to both of their sort of psychology.
I know. I would just say no visible or noticeable, because how. If there's no rancor, then why is he going to free agency?
If there's no rancor, why is Tom's father saying, look, he wants to stay, but Joe Montana went to the Chiefs? Like, I think it's sort of, there has to be.
Yeah, it's just they've been together too long for there not to be some irritation. There's got to be some. So now, is everybody playing nice at the moment? Sure. Is that going to continue when the first offer is made? Because if the first offer is, Tom, we're going to give you 1 year, $18 million, which is where you were before last season, and then we're going to give you 1 year, $18 million with incentives that'll make you another seven, which will bring you to 25, which is more than you made last year, by the way. And because of the carryover from the cap hit, we're actually at 36.
Such garbage.
Okay, like if it's something like that, Brady's going to get pissed, and there'll be plenty of rancor.
I'm hoping for it. All right, so there's your Brady reset. 90 seconds, no commercials to your phones on this. The Sox spillover from yesterday, even a little Bruins if you want. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.